let's talk a little bit more about the experimentation process and the importance of prototyping. How important is prototyping to advancing entrepreneurial experiments?
I think it's really, really important. And I think it's really important that this is a wider effort and not just, you know, few people here and there who are building prototypes and experimenting. I think it's really important that those prototypes are part of the process. So we are not just testing cool new technology and doing R&D, but we are actually trying to solve business problems or customer problems. So again, going back to those principles we've discussed of what is the value we are trying to deliver to our customers, to our organizations? What problems are we trying to solve? What's in our way? Being honest about lots of assumptions we have baked into our thinking about initial idea, right? How do we prioritize the risky ones, not the easy ones, which teams often do? And how do we use experimentations, prototypes, you know, landing pages, simple MVPs to actually validate or invalidate our hypothesis, to capture the learnings, to ensure that we are using right metrics to measure the output, that we are presenting the data and really learning based on that. And then there is that decision point of, do we pivot, persevere, or kill, right? Which is also part of the prototyping and experimentation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then, as I said, it's a wider effort, and having customers all the way throughout, really thinking about who is your early adopters, how do you involve them from the start, how do you embrace those principles of co-design and co-development. So this is not about, you know, producing something in some lab or, you know, corporate building and then going to a customer and doing a bit of usability testing. This is actually engaging them from the start, really trying to understand what problems do they have, you know. Is there even a need for your idea? How do you prove that need? How are they solving the problem they have at the moment? Are they willing to pay? I mean, these are the questions we should be asking early on in the process before we even build anything. You know, sometimes it's enough to produce a simple video that explains the proposition and test. Sometimes we use, you know, a landing page. I don't think in my career, and I'm sure a lot of our audience is going to agree, I can't remember a single case when I looked back and said, we didn't build enough. It's yeah. Usually we have built too much, right? We sometimes get so much in love with the baby we are building that, you know, we go from prototype to a full product immediately with all the bows and whistles, and we really need to scale back. And, you know, MVP is a minimum viable product. It's not a maximum viable product. Yeah. It's not the worst version of the product. It's really just that first iteration of few features that are going to help us prove the viability, prove the feasibility, prove the desirability. Once you have a paying customer, once you have that early adopter on board, then we can talk about how we potentially scale that product further, right? And what are the additional hypotheses we need to validate? But I think it's more than just building, you know, initial product or launching the first version of the product or, you know, doing that MVP. It's how do we experiment and prototype with existing products, with new features we are building and adding to the product? How do we ensure that customers are involved? You know, how do we test with them? How do we ensure that our roadmaps are really aligned to growth hypotheses for that product or initiative or service? What experiments can we run throughout the life cycle of the product so that we are using those learnings and customer input and feedback to really scope and, you know, adjust our product so it's meeting the true customer need and it's delivering ultimately business results?
Absolutely. And there's so many things that you said that resonated with me and are parallel to some experiences that I've had with clients. And I think especially two pieces. So one is prototype is a powerful way to interact with end users, certainly. Hopefully you'll have talked to them even before, long before you create a prototype. On the other side, so for example, I was speaking with some folks at a medical device company as they were thinking about developing a very high value, low cost device to measure heart rhythm. And they talked about a prototype that they created that was pretty low resolution, but it was advanced enough that because this was so antithetical to the entire business model of this particular corporation, it was able to shut down a lot of the naysaying, a lot of the, we don't do that here, that's not going to work, no one's going to want it. And the prototype is able to completely shift the conversation from a no business as usual conversation to a, that's really interesting. We see that there's been some invalidation embedded in this. I can actually wrap my hands around this and understand how and why it's going to work. And think in a more forward-looking way rather than kind of the let's shut it down, I'm not used to that. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I think those initial prototypes, MVPs, those initial experiments you're going to run in the organization are so important from that mindset shift, because you're often going to hear, you know, oh, that's never going to work here. You know, you can use any external example. You're always going to hear, yes, but we are different. We are special. We are snowflake. And it's not just us as a business. You know, from department to department, I heard that over and over, whether it was at Pearson or some of my existing clients now. And so proving something on something that's closer to home, helping them, you know, sometimes I run strategy sessions with leadership teams and I get them to use business model canvas to map their strategy just so they can experience how many hypotheses and assumptions have they built into a model. And they walk away from the canvas thinking, oh my God, like everything that we thought was certain, it's actually uncertain. So how do we reduce that uncertainty? How do we reduce risk? And then teaching them how to run experiments around the business model, right? So that we can go and quickly validate some of our assumptions, whether it's around the value propositions or channel. It doesn't really matter. It's not necessarily just, let's go build the first version of a product. Sometimes that's not even needed, right? Sometimes our biggest assumptions are around the value proposition or a customer need or even a customer segment. You could be completely off. You can build the best product, but if it's not meeting the need, you know, what was the point? We had some great examples early on at Pearson. We had this idea about a partnership with a very famous school in England, and we wanted to launch that as a proposition in Middle East. And instead of doing what, you know, big corporates would do, you know, spend years ironing the contract and all the legalities of that, we produced a simple video explaining the proposition, and we tested that. And it didn't resonate at all with customers in Middle East because they've never heard of the brand. Brand was so big in England that everyone just assumed that everyone else in the world would know, but people didn't. So, hey, that was the cheapest possible experiment, a very quick failure, and we didn't pursue that further. So once you have evidence like that, once you have examples like that, people start to change the mindset, and I think that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. You know, when I was researching for my first book about frugal innovation, I spent about 8 months in emerging markets, mostly India, talking to grassroots innovators, thinking about how do you innovate under severe resource constraints. You're still solving problems, but you may not have access to affordable capital. You may not have infrastructure. You may not have formal education. And one thing I learned very clearly is that there is an experimental, iterative process that many of these grassroots and grassroots innovators were using that's been around for millennia. So I think, you know, that just really taught me that it has had relevance for a very long time, and I think it has relevance in our future, and it certainly shouldn't go anywhere.
Absolutely. And I think this is what happens, whether it's a startup or, you know, a country or environment where the resources are limited, right? You become more creative. You think outside of the box. I think that's also stopping a lot of these large organizations, because they're used to large budgets, large teams, bunch of consultants. When they tell you, oh, we're just going to hire this consultant and he or she is going to work on a business plan for 6 months, you know they're wasting time, right? No one is thinking about talking to customers or running quick experiments, right? It's just this, you know, inertia of this is how we do things that's slowing them down. But there is some amazing innovation happening in, you know, India and Africa, where, you know, they don't even have connectivity. And, you know, I know of educational products that they're using on their phones, and they're not even, you know, smartphones. It's incredible.
Yeah. So let's hope that experimentation is here to stay. Any closing thoughts, Sonia?
No, apart from this is really a journey, and we need to start embracing it as a journey and thinking about the ecosystem and all the colleagues we need in our organizations who can help and who need to be part of this process. And yeah, I think it's a very rewarding experience, and I hope many of our, you know, listeners start to embrace more of these principles.
Absolutely. And for those who are watching, Sonia referred several times to culture and the importance of culture in lifting up experimentation. In the Innovator's Handbook, we do have another section that's dedicated to culture. So please take a look at that. And also, I'm sure that Sonia will share more in her forthcoming books. So thanks, Sonia. It was great to talk to you today.
You too. Thank you so much.